أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كلا إنها لظى نزاعة للشوى تدعو من أدبر وتولى وجمع فأوعى إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين والذين هم من عذاب ربهم مشفقون إن عذاب ربهم غير مأمون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم بشهاداتهم قائمون والذين هم على صلاتهم يحافظون أولئك في جنات مكرمون. صدق الله العظيم. Today inshallah we'll be talking, starting the tafsir from ayah number 15 of Surah Al-Ma'arij. But these ayahs are connected to the previous ayahs. And before getting into them, I like to remind that these ayahs are very important and basically are the type of ayahs that each and every person can get something from it, a message to follow, practical lessons, ways of protecting ourselves against evils and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that there are different types of ayahs in Quran al-Kareem. Some ayahs narrate some stories. Some ayahs talk about beliefs. Some ayahs talk about akhirah. Some ayahs talk about miracles. Some ayahs talk about ahkam, rules of the sharia. And there are other type of ayahs, which are these type of ayahs that talk about personalities, morals, characters, things to do and not to do as far as the good and bad morals are concerned. And Quran al-Kareem, it's one of the, or I should say, is the only type of book that will go down. When it talks about morality, it goes down to the root of the problem and tries to cut the evils from the root. And it really goes all the way down to the depth of our heart to get that disease out of it. And because of this reason, many times when we look at these different morals and the rules about morality in Quran al-Kareem, people fail to understand them. They cannot understand them. The reason is because they think their problem is something different. But in reality, Quran goes into the depth and to the root of these problems, that the person does not even think that he has any of these, or at least solving this problem will solve the other ones. It's just like a person who constantly have headache, and every day he keeps on eating Tylenol. Other day he has a more headache, another Tylenol, and he's just living on this, and every day he just keeps on taking that Tylenols, and it does not help him. But all he knows is that for headache, once he went to the doctor and doctor recommended Tylenol to him for headache. So he feels now he can continue taking the same tablet and he can finish the whole bottle and go buy another bottle of Tylenols and still continue on the same medicine. He does not realize that that was because he had a temporary headache. If it continues, then we have to find the root of this problem. And then he has to go back to the doctor to find out, get some tests done to find out that what is the reason and the cause behind this headache. If he has it continuously for 20 days, 30 days, he goes to the doctor, I have extremely bad headache for the last 2 months. He's not going to tell him, okay, go and eat and finish another bottle of Tylenol and then come back to me. Now he has to be looked at, he has to be treated, and we have to find out the cause for it. So same thing with our most of the spiritual diseases. This is exactly what it is to it. That we feel that I have only this problem. But really this is not the only problem. If a person commits a sin once, twice, occasionally he's committing a sin, just like we occasionally have a headache and then take a Tylenol, then the person can think, okay, this is only a minor problem that I have. I commit sin sometime, this type of sin I committed sometime, and then I go back and do istighfar, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and after some time, then I don't commit the sin for a long time, then after some time it comes back, that all of a sudden I did it by mistake. But if we find ourselves that continuously we are after sinning, and not a single day goes by that we have not committed a sin, we cannot prevent ourselves from committing the sin. We know it's wrong. There are certain sins in our life that we know that we are doing it wrong. But I can't help it. When I get into that situation, I have to commit it. I can't control myself. Now, this is Tylenol is not enough for this disease. Now we have to know the root of the problem. And Quran always go back all the way down to the root of the problem to treat all of these diseases. So this is the beauty of Quran. And this is exactly what these ayahs are about that inshallah we'll be talking about today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the previous ayahs, He talked about the sinners, how on the day of judgment, they will be willing to pay the ransom, to ransom their lives, to protect their life and save their life from the punishment of Akhirah. They will be willing to give their children, their wives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes further to say that وَمَن فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا, He will be willing to give in ransom everyone that's in the world, anyone that can, any person in the world, father, mother, brother, sister, children, parents, anyone in the world. He's willing to throw those people into the hellfire in order to protect himself. ثُمَّ يُنْجِي, hoping that these things will save him. But that was the last ayah, and here where ayah number 15 states, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in response to that says, never even hope for that, don't even think about it, kalla, that will never happen. This would never happen. You will never be able to save your life and put others into that hardship. No one else will be willing to go to hellfire, wal-ayazu billah, on our behalf, on the behalf of the sinners. Kalla, this will never happen. Then he says, for this person who have committed the sins, innaha lava, as the flaming fire, he has to go to it. The fire is really this reality of our deeds. Each and every bad deed that we perform in this life, each and every sin that we commit in our life, all of these sins, although we don't see them in that form, but the reality of it, that it's a flame of fire. That's the reality behind it. Just like you see something in your dream, and you wake up and try to find out what is the meaning of the dream and someone tells you, oh, you saw milk in your dream. You were drinking milk. That means a lot of knowledge. So milk in dream, in reality, means knowledge. So these are different things that have different meanings in reality. You see something different in dream, but in reality you would see it different. Same thing. In this life, we see things in a different form, but when the reality will come, that thing will be something else over there. Just like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, that you see a word written in front of you, says, Subhanallah. He says here, in this form, in this life, you see it as Subhanallah. In the Akhirah, you will see it in the form of a tree. So that's the reality behind it. That's hidden from our sight in this world. But we will see the realities in Akhirah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in other hadith. A person who eats anything haram on the day of judgment, that haram food will be in the form of a flame of a fire in his stomach. And he will know that this is what I ate that day. That will be the reality of this food. This will be the shape that the food will take place, that haram food will take place on the day of judgment. So things will be converted according to that life. And as a person will have a lot of evils, a lot of sins, all of these sins, each sin is a flame of a fire. All of these sins together will be converted into a hellfire. And that person will be just getting his deeds back, which means he's getting it in the form of hellfire, wa'iyazu billah. So this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, innaha lava. That hellfire, he has to go through those flames of fire. Because these are the things that he earned in this life. Just like you go from one country to another country and you go and exchange money. When you exchange it, you get the currency of that country. Because the currency of this country does not work over there. So you need to exchange the money. Same thing. All of these deeds will be exchanged into the things that we will be needing over there, into the currency of that life. If a person will go with dollars, but those dollars are children's toys to play with. A person will travel with a lot of those toys that look like dollars, and he goes and tries to exchange the money. Of course, right away, he will be caught, and they will try to, at least, if not too much, they will say he was trying to cheat the person. Same thing. A person will go from this life to the next life, and he has some money that's not real, that's not helpful over there. And when it converts to something that he does not like to see it anymore. The results of it are not something that he liked to have, but is a mistake that he made. And that was his fault. He was not supposed to bring these things over there. Imagine, sometime when we are about to cross the border here, we are in a border town. When you are about to cross the border, how many times we make sure that we have our documents? Nothing in the car that's not allowed to be taken to the border and cross the border with? A person, before bringing the car on the road, makes sure that the plates are on the car. There is insurance in the car. How can you drive without insurance? Same thing. We are going over there for a long journey. And if we won't make sure that we have the right insurance of good deeds, that will protect us. We have some extra insurance. Many times people like to buy extra health insurance before they will start the journey and things. Here, we are going over there to the next world, and we don't even make sure that we have some good insurance, extra nawafil, extra deeds, some more recitation of Quran, some good deeds that can prevent and protect us in the Akhirah. Then of course we are going empty-handed, no insurance. So This is something that we can understand how this life is comparable to that life, and whatever we see in this life can turn into reality in the next life and will have a different form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person have earned a lot of flames of fire, so surely for him there will be a flaming fire. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى. What type of fire is that? It will pull off his skin. It's not going to kill him. The fire in this life kills the people. Many people, they even burn themselves. They commit suicide and they burn themselves because they would like to get rid of their life. They're tired of this life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about that fire that it will not kill the person. The person will just remain over there and keep on burning and burning. All the fire will do is just keep on burning his body and keep on burning his skin. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Humazah, one of the shortest surahs at the end of the Quran, التي تطلع على الأفئدة. Subhanallah. It's amazing fire. With all the technology that we have, still we do not have anything of that kind yet. That the fire will read people's heart and will burn the person according to what he carries in his heart. إِنَّهَا تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ. That fire will be looking into the people's heart and will be burning the hearts, and by looking at the heart will be treating the people accordingly. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that as their skin will burn, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. We will replace their skins with another skin. And nowadays, science is proving that our skin that we have on top of the flesh is the most sensitive one. If this skin pulls off and then you try to burn the rest of it, the person will not have as much pain as he will have with the skin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ. Whenever their skin will be burned off, بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا. We'll replace it with another skin. Why? Look at the ayah, لِيَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ. So they can have the proper punishment and test the punishment. So that's the type of fire, نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى. Will not take the life, will keep on pulling the skin. Keep on burning the skin. And who will be put in that fire? تَدْعُوا مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّعَ. It will call those who turn their backs away from the deen of Allah. وَتَوَلَّى. And they turn their face away. Two things about those people. One is, some people, they turn their backs to the deen of Allah. No, I don't want it. That's it. They might be kuffar, mushrikeen, munafiqeen. But there are some other people who are not turning their backs. They just turn their face away. They want to stay on it also. But they don't want to practice it. We don't want to be called munafiqs, non-Muslims or any of that thing. No, I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of this deen. But when it comes to an ayah that tells us here, practice this, it's time for salah, it's time to do this, we turn our face away. I can't see it, I can't hear it, I'm not looking at it, I don't know it. We play ignorant. This is tawalla. This is turning our faces away from the deen of Allah. And if we look at ourselves, how many times we turn our face away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wajama'a. These are two things. Turning the backs. Number two, turning the face. Number three, wajama'a. And the one who keeps on collecting wealth. All he wants, this is the goal of his life. Get more and more. Day and night, this is the only worry on the mind. Let me have more. And after collecting it, فَأَوْعَى. And now, he keeps on saving it. Does not want to spend it for the deen of Allah. Likes to have more and more savings. Look how Quran is getting to our nature now. Each of us might feel at this time that the ayah is talking about me. And it's something that's in our nature. We love wealth. This is in our nature. All of us do love it. But of course, the ayah will continue and will tell us the solution to it also. This is not everything that Allah will talk about. The ayahs will tell us the solution. But these are the problems right now. Jama'ah, that the person just likes to collect. And have more and more. Look at the Surah Al-Humaza again, one of the shortest surahs of the Quran. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا. Woe to those who keep on collecting the wealth and keep on counting it all the time. This is his worry. Today I have 100,000. Tomorrow I need to have more. Next year I should have more than 100,000. Oh, this year we lost. You find a person comes and he says, I really lost this year. And if you talk to him, you'll find out because he had 1 million last year, and this year he had 1.5 million. He thought he should have 2 million this year, so that's his lost. He was not able to achieve the goal of having 2 million. And how many times we try to prove ourselves being very poor, in spite of having the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's something when we read the history, really we find that this thing did not exist in past. In the time of, even before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhi wa jma'in, Tabi'in, Tabi'at Tabi'in, later on the Ummah, as we know in the history, even during the, we can go as far as Abbasiyya and Umayyah throughout their time of Khilafah, we find those people who are wealthy, they will always show it and tell people, Alhamdulillah, I have this. I have all of these businesses. This is what I have. Today, the trend is something totally different than this. Everyone tries to prove I don't have it. There is some fear behind it. Everyone is trying to hide it from others. To the extent, many times, parents are not willing to tell their own children how much money they have. How much they have in their savings, what are their assets. And many times children even like to hide it from their parents because there is a fear that then the parents won't give me too much after they know how much I have. Or, the worse than this is, they might ask for some of it. So, there is a lot of fear, and this fear is because of that great love, a lot of love that we have for it. Everyone is afraid. I don't want to lose it. I don't want it to go out. And everyone is trying. Today, if a person comes and tells us, and it's generally, anyone comes and tells you, and says, you know, I really don't have too much money, you think right away, you don't know what he means. Let's not even say the numbers, but you don't know what he means. And you would never feel sorry for the person that, oh, this person really lost a lot and he doesn't have anything. You know that the account is full over there. He's blessed, but trying to keep it away and hide it so that no one will ask him for it. He won't have no more responsibilities. And for whatever fear we have in our mind. So this is something that, for whatever reason, the history had a big turn over there. And in the past, you don't find it like this. Usman radiallahu anhu, for example, very simple example, comes out and he would be just giving out and showing people, here, I have all of this. This is all mine. This is all mine. This is all mine. Alhamdulillah, that's all mine. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also recommends in Quran al-Kareem that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses someone with something, with wealth, He likes the person to use it, and He likes that blessing to be seen on the person. If still this person, even up to now, in spite of having all of that, still he's always worried and never have peace of mind, doesn't use it properly so that people won't find out what he has. So of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. He does not like that way of life. وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of the quality of those people who, وَالْعَيَازُ بِاللَّهِ, will be going on the wrong direction and towards the hellfire, is those who have a habit of collecting and always saving it and just trying to hide it and keep it. And as I said in the other ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدًا, they gather the wealth and they keep on counting it all the time. Their worry always is to have a dollar more, another dollar, another dollar, and always to keep on seeing it getting higher in number. And this is showing us that greed is one of the worst qualities in the Islam. Greediness. And of course, with that, if a person is greedy, and at the same time, the person is miser, when these two qualities are gathered in one person, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith that you have the right to doubt that person's faith in iman. There are some people who are greedy. I mean, they like to get it everywhere. Get whatever we can, as much as they can. But when it comes to spend, they like to spend also. But there are other people who, with being greedy, they are miser also, that let's get everything and just keep it for myself. These are two qualities, different ones. And each of them is worse than others. And when they get together in one person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they cannot be together in the heart of a mu'min. There is a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتَّقُوا الشُّحْ فَإِنَّ الشُّحَّ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Always refrain from being greedy, because greediness was the quality that destroyed most of the nations before you. Once some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and complained, Ya Rasulullah, hardly we get some dates to eat in our home. Most of us have only one sheet to dress, and that's the same sheet that we use as our blanket night time. No other dress and no blanket at home. Ya Rasulullah, why don't you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us, bless us with more? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm not afraid of poverty on my ummah, because you people still will survive with it, and your iman still will be protected. My fear is with the time when you people will have a lot of wealth, and he said that time will come very soon. When you start having a lot of this wealth, my fear is at that time what you people are going to do with your iman. How are you going to preserve your iman? It will be difficult. So of course our deen does not stop us from having it, but at the same time it reminds us our responsibility that after having it, make sure that you fulfill the responsibility towards it also. It's just like getting married. Before the person is married, he has no responsibility towards his family, towards his wife. No wife, so he has no responsibility. As soon as the person gets married, so of course he has an additional responsibility now. So Islam does not say do not get married. Yes, get married, but make sure that after getting married now you don't neglect her. You have a lot of responsibilities. Then you will have children and you have a lot of responsibilities, added responsibilities. So all of these are reminders of our responsibilities, that make sure you fulfill the responsibility, because it happens a lot that when a person gets into these situations, especially with wealth after having it, then normally people forget their responsibility towards it. And likes to just have more and more of it and keep on collecting it. But for how long? That's a very important question, and normally a question that normally we try to run away from. Practically we run away from it. That, say for example, look at our wealth that we might have, many of us, not necessarily everyone. Isn't this wealth enough to give us a good life without working anymore for next 15, 20 years? Won't we be able to survive with just what we have collected up to this time? Next 15, 20 years? Many of us might. Some of us have it for enough that will be enough for us to survive for a year or for two. Does that help us? Does that make us feel that now, alhamdulillah, I have got a lot, I have enough, and now let me do something for the deen of Allah? Or still, the situation of our heart is the same as it was 20 years back and 30 years back? If we read our hearts, it might be the same situation. Same thing when the person was looking for a job, was not able to find it, hoping to have just something that he can at least establish himself. And now with all what we have, is still looking for that more. The same thing is still continued in our heart. Now I'm looking just for more. And imagine how many more years. Most of us, if we look around us, we might have spent more than half of our life. And the remaining might be less than half if we calculate normal life of people. Otherwise, who knows, even the next moment we don't know about it. But if we take, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عمر أعمار أمتي ما بين 60 إلى 70, that normally my life, the life of my ummah will be between 60 to 70. If we take 70, how many more years? So, Rasulullah sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us in these ayahs. Now just think about your future also. And thinking about future means the long life that we will be having after this one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in other hadith. In fact, a beautiful hadith. Let me narrate that one, which is narrated in Sunan al-Tirmizi on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. A person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked, أي الصدقة أفضل يا رسول الله? Very important question and a beautiful question. Ya Rasulullah, which sadaqa is the best? We all give sadaqa, charity, donations at different times. Which sadaqa is the best? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best sadaqa is the one, أن تصدق وأنت صحيح شحيح. That you give the charity at a time when you are healthy, making money, and at the same time hoping to have even more. تخشى الفقر. By giving that amount, whichever amount you have, you would give, by giving that amount, there is a fear in your heart of poverty. That if I do this, if I give this much, then it's going to hurt me. وَتَأْمُلُ الْبَقَى. And you hope to live enough to use that money. So by giving that amount, the fear is you might have little trouble later on. And you hope to live enough to use this one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that charity that's given in that way is the best type of charity in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means the most helpful charity in Akhirah. And then he continues to say, وَلَا تَمْهَلْ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحَلْقُومِ قُلْتَ لِفُلَانٍ كَذَا. Don't just wait until you see that it's your last moments of the life. Now you start saying, give so much to that masjid, give so much to those people, and I would like to donate this much money to this organization. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَقَدْ كَانْ. It's already someone else's money. It's not yours anymore. You know that you're leaving. So, one of the best charities is to give it while we are earning, while we are working, and while we have the health and wealth with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give the amount that will scare us a little. And remember, the rule is, whatever a person would do in this life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not have to go through those situations in Akhirah, which means, if you were scared in this life, you won't be scared in the Akhirah. Simple example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam told us that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown in the fire, he was undressed. The kuffar undressed him to throw him into the fire and to be burned in order to burn him into the fire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, on the day of judgment, all the human beings will be undressed except for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He will have the dress. He was undressed in this world for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he won't lose it over there. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that all the people, a time will come that all the people will fant. And as they would get up, I will be the first person to get up. But once I get up, I would see Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam standing beside the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because he fainted in this world by seeing the light of Allah on the mountain. So he won't have to go through that one again. So same thing. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem that those people who fear me in this world, لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, they won't fear Allah, so they won't have no fear in the Akhirah. Because they already feared enough in this life. So they won't have to go through that fear again. Those who grieve in this world for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَاهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, they won't grieve in Akhirah, because Allah is not going to have the person go through the same situation twice. So, this is what it is. We need to scare ourselves sometime by even spending the money. Spend enough that your heart will shake up. Of course, remember, it does not mean that we spend so much that we put ourselves into a difficult situation, because our iman is not of that level. So we should not put ourselves into those type of situations that, God forbid, tomorrow when a person will go through a hard situation, a difficult situation, he will start thinking, why Allah make me do this? And he will be in a worse situation according to his faith and iman by complaining. So we should not do that. But at least something that will shake us up and will not put us in hardship. And nowadays, I think even a little amount is enough to shake us up. So, at least we should all try to keep on doing this to ourselves occasionally, so that love of the worldly gain that is holding us back will not be holding us from going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think I mentioned this once before, but it might be appropriate place to mention it. A great scholar whose name was Fariduddin Attar rahimahullah. Once he had a person. Attar means perfume seller, the person who sells perfume. And you know, perfumes are bottles. So that person had a large store, a huge store, where he had a lot of bottles of perfume. We all know the money that we have, the merchandise we have, our hearts are attached to it. We love all of our wealth. Once a person went to him, a poor man wearing all dress. He starts looking at the bottles of perfume and just looking around. He went to him, can I help you? He said, no, I'm just looking. He goes back to his place, and after some time, still that man is looking around. So finally, he got upset with him and said, what are you after? What do you need from here? You're just looking, you don't want to buy anything? He says, I'm just wondering about something. What are you wondering about? In my store, looking at my perfume bottles, what are you wondering about? He said, I'm wondering, how would your soul come out of all of these thousands of bottles? What do you mean? He said, your heart is attached to all of these bottles. You love all of these bottles. So how is your soul going to leave all of these bottles? The time of your death, you will be just stuck with these bottles. How are you going to die? So of course, still the worldly life is in the depth of the roots of his heart. So he said, forget about me, how would you die? Are you asking me? He said, yeah. You have a place I can make wudu? Yes. He went and made wudu. And he laid down, put his sheet on top of him. And before he even know that, he looks at the person is dead. He realized that it's a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from there on, he changed his lifestyle and became one of the greatest scholars of Islam, Fariduddin Attar rahimahullah. So if you look at ourselves, how our life is going to depart from all of these dollars and pennies. And from all of that we have collected and gathered, it will be difficult. Of course, the solution is keep them out of our heart. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah said a beautiful thing. He said, the example of this worldly gain is just like the example of a boat in a water. Boat always needs the water to run on. You always need the water for the boat. You cannot have a boat and just no water. But the rule is, as long as the water remains out of the boat, then it's good. But if there is a hole in the boat and the water keeps on sinking in and getting in, the boat is going to be drowned. That's harmful for the boat. Same thing, the worldly gain is necessary for us to have in this world, to survive, to live. But do not allow it to sink into your heart. Otherwise, you will be drowned. Just keep it outside, in your pocket, out there. You lose it, alhamdulillah. Allah gave it to me, He took it back. Need for the deen of Allah, give it out. This is for the sake of Allah. He gave it to me, I'm giving it back to Him. Ja'far rahimahullah, Abdullah bin Ja'far. Ja'far radiyallahu anhu was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abu Talib, brother of Ali radiyallahu anhu. His son Abdullah bin Ja'far had a habit of not keeping the wealth at all. He would always be spending it out. So one day, some people went to him, some Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in told him that you spend all of this money and you spend so much, aren't you afraid that you will lose it, you will be in need of it sometime and you won't have it the time you need it? He said, remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me used to giving to His servants. And as I give it out, He is used to giving it to me also. So if I stop this train of giving it out, He might stop that train of giving it to me either. So if He would stop also, then of course I will be in hardship. But as long as He's giving it, what's wrong with me giving it out? So he said, I'm just like a tap. When you open the tap, you get the water. You tell the tap that, oh, you are giving out too much water. What if you will lose it? He says, as long as it's coming from the bag, I have a line, then of course I'm not afraid of anything. He says, same thing, I know it's coming from there and I'll keep on giving it out. And as long as I keep on giving it, the more I give, the more is going to come. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Asma radiyallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, Ya Asma, la tuhsi fa yuhsin Allahu alayki. Asma, when you give out anything in the path of Allah, don't keep on counting it all the time when giving it out. Today I gave 20, I gave 30, I gave 100, I gave 500. Don't keep on counting it all the time when you give it out. Otherwise, Allah will count before giving it to you also. And if you would give it without counting, Allah can give you without counting also. And believe me, I have seen situations with my own eyes. In Medina Munawwara, when we were there, especially during the month of Ramadan, believe me, so many people, you see them on the way of Haram, sitting in the window of their homes. And there is a line of people. And he's giving out what? He's giving $100 bills, 100 riyal bills. Just giving it out. A person can go back in the line 4 times, 10 times. He won't even look at him. And he doesn't care. He'll just keep on giving it. And from Asr to Maghrib, they'll keep on giving no matter how many people would come. They don't want to count. They just want to give it out. I saw a person. There might be a lot of those, but I saw one person who used to do this throughout the year. Every night, that person will be sitting outside in his home, in the lawn of his home, with some of his friends, sitting on a musalla, and he will find people, someone will go and talk to him, you know, I'm in this need, this is my need. He puts his hand under the musalla, pulls some bills out, puts it in that person's hand, and that person will go. Another person comes. And throughout the time, up to midnight, every day from Maghrib up to midnight, that was his job. everything. Of course, it needs faith, it needs iman. We cannot do something of that kind that easily. But at least, we should realize, even if the number is small, just having a habit of giving out, it's a good habit. Irrespective of the number. A dollar, even the dollar can do a lot. Not only a dollar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Protect yourself against the hellfire, even if it is by giving half a date. A person does not feel like giving more, give half a date. Give a penny. That might do something also in the akhirah. And would do it. So, this is something very, a very important quality. I went, I guess, too depth into it and too details of it, but at least it will make us realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about the problem people have in this world, is that adbara wa tawalla, that turning their backs away from the deen of Allah. Some people, they don't turn their backs away, they like to still be closer to the deen, but they turn their face away to from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, jama'a, they like to keep on gathering wealth, collecting wealth. And number four, aw'a, they like to always save it for themselves. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, talking about human nature, innal insana khuliqa halu'a. Human being is created very impatient. Human being is created very impatient. But the word halu'a, I looked at different translations. Someone will translate it as restless. Some people translate it as impatient. But the real meaning of halu'a is what Allah explains in the next ayah Himself. And that is the best explanation of the word halu'a. And that is, إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. Halu' means, إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. Whenever an evil afflicts him, he starts panicking. He starts shouting, he starts complaining, becomes very impatient. He starts complaining, وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Whenever he gets something good, like to hold it back to himself. So with the good things, this is for me. When he has a problem, he says, I don't deserve it. This is one of the problems every human being has. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want to get rid of this, then you have to follow certain things. There are some qualities that you have to adopt. What are those qualities? The next ayahs talk in detail about those qualities, starting with the word illal musallin, except for those who perform the prayer, who continuously, regularly do their prayers, and then this is not the only quality, it continues with many more qualities. So, in our nature, we have a habit of holding good things back to our souls. And when we have a hardship, instead complaining, and instead not only we complain against people, many times people even go to the extreme of complaining against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa la'azu billah. I don't know why Allah put me through this situation. I don't know why do I have to go through all of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, is not a good nature, is one of the worst things human being, man can have, or human being in general can have, as one of the worst qualities. And we see a lot of people really around us. If you see at your workplace, a person, whenever you keep on doing good to the person, he just takes it all the time. But one wrong thing from your side will start shouting at you. You won't be able to take that person for too long. At your own home, with your own wife or husband, if the wife or husband is doing something, they're always trying to be good with others. But sometime, and of course by mistake, everyone does something wrong, the person will panic and will start shouting, cursing. Of course, the other person will try to remind, I do beyond my ways. I'm going out of my ways to help you, to please you. And here now you're telling me that because of this, you will start cursing at me and you will leave me, you run out of the home, and you are threatening me with all of these things. This is something that many people have in themselves. And not only really, in reality speaking, most of the problems we have in families, workplaces, in the communities is because of this bad quality. Because of this reason. That we don't thank people for the good things and we always complain against the bad things. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us something totally opposite. That when a person does anything good for you, always thank the people for that. And when they do something wrong, forgive them for it. As when a person came and said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, this is my slave, always keeps on doing something wrong. Ya Rasulullah, how many times do you want me to forgive him? He says, as many times as you want Allah to forgive you. Forgive the person as many times as you want Allah to forgive you. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ In Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reward of a good deed is a good deed. When a person, the reward of a favor is another favor. A person does a favor to you, so of course, in return you do favor to that person, but we find ourselves in most of the cases, and nowadays it's becoming very general habit, that everyone thinks that all the people should be doing this for me. And one wrong thing, we will start complaining against the person, and that's enough to wash out all the good things that the person have done for us. This is one of the worst qualities human beings have. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling it, halur in Arabic language, in the terminology of Quran, which is, إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا He panics whenever goes through a hardship. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا When he gets something good, he likes to keep it for himself. How to get rid of this? Next ayahs talk about it. Inshallah, we'll go about that in our next session. Talk about it in our next sessions. After salah, inshallah, we'll go through the hadith and the question and answers. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ